the morning. That's not unusual these days, though. I used to spend practically every second of the weekend with my brother, but now he's either at Little League or locked in his room. I managed to catch him a few times to walk to the bus stop with him, but it didn't help. He didn't want to talk. So it's not weird that I haven't seen him all day. But it is weird that he is sneaking in through the back. And it's even weirder that there's what looks like a pee stain all over the front of his pants. Did Nico wet his pants? Nico? I say. He tries to hide his pants behind the kitchen table, but I already saw it.
What?
Are you okay?
I'm fine, he says. I was at the Lowell's house and I spilled some water I was drinking on myself.
Except, I don't think he did. Because now that he's closer, he also smells like pee. He can tell that I don't believe him, and then he gets a worried look on his face.
Don't tell anyone, okay, Ada? He says.
I won't, I promise. But, I mean, how? How does a 9-year-old kid wet his pants? There was a time when Nico was about 4 years old when I remember he used to wet the bed, but that was a long time ago.
I just held it in too long, he says.
I still don't get it, but he looks so embarrassed. It's not like I'm going to give him a hard time about it.
Okay. You swear you won't tell anyone?
I swear.
Because if you do, then you're a tattletale.
I said I wouldn't. Finally, he looks satisfied, and then he hurries up to his room to change. But I can't stop thinking about what happened. Nico is already acting weird, and this was the most weird thing ever. I wish he would talk to me. I wish he were the way he used to be. I wish we never moved here.
67. At least my classes are going good. I've always done well at school. Back at my old school, I always got all E's. That's basically the same as an A, but that's the weird grading system they used at my school so people wouldn't feel bad about not getting an A. E stands for exceeds expectations, and it's the best grade you can get. I got an E in everything except for gym. In gym, I got an M, meets expectations. Mrs. Ratner gives a lot more homework than Ms. Marcus used to, but I don't mind doing homework. I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up, so I have a lot more school left to go. Good thing I like homework. In the middle of doing my math assignment, I get thirsty and go downstairs for a glass of water. Except the weird thing is, while I am climbing down the stairs, I see Nico disappearing into the wall. You heard me right. I didn't know this, but apparently our wall has a secret door on it. Nico has it open, and he looks like he's about to go inside. Before he can close the door, I call out, "Hey!" His face jerks up and he sees me. He doesn't look happy about it.
"Oh, it's you."
I hurry down the rest of the stairs to get a closer look. What is that? The door is partially open, so I can see inside. It's this tiny room about the size of one of our bathrooms, or maybe a little bigger. There isn't much inside, just some comic books. It's also dark. There's only one light bulb hanging from the ceiling.
"You can't tell anyone, Ada," Nico says. "This is my secret clubhouse."
Secret clubhouse? Really? This doesn't seem safe.
"Ugh," he cries. "You're acting just like Mom."
He means it as an insult, But maybe it isn't such a bad insult to be compared to the one totally normal and rational person in this family. But I also hate that he is upset at me. Can I come inside? I ask. He makes a face.
It's my clubhouse, Ada. No girls allowed.
I know for a fact I'm his only friend around here, because I always see him alone at the playground at school lately. So if he doesn't want to hang out with girls, he will have nobody to hang out with. He isn't allowed to play with Spencer anymore, even though our parents don't know about that. Please? Finally, he nods. I follow him inside this small, square room, and he shuts the door behind us. It makes this terrible scraping noise when the door closes, and I have to cover my ears. Once we are inside, the room feels really small. I could tell it was small from the outside, but when you're inside, it feels even worse. It's like being in a coffin, or being buried alive, one of those two things. Also, it's dirty. The floor has a layer of dirt on it, so you can see his footprints from all the times he came in and out. It has cobwebs in the corners, which means there are spiders. People say spiders are the good kind of bugs, but I don't like anything creepy crawly. But Nico likes bugs, so it doesn't bother him as much. I can't help but think about that little boy, Braden Lundy, the one who disappeared. I imagine him finding himself locked in a little room like this, with nothing but a small pile of comic books. You really like playing in here? I ask. It's so small.
Yes, I like it, Nico says stubbornly. If you hate it, you can leave.
I do hate it, and I want to leave, but I haven't had a conversation with my brother in a long time, and I don't want him to think I'm some scaredy cat that he can't play with. No, I say. I want to stay. I look at the door, hoping that it opens again when we want it to. What if it doesn't? How will we get out? Will Mom and Dad figure out that we're in here? My neck suddenly feels cold and sweaty, but I sit down next to Nico on the floor anyway. We won't get stuck in here. Dad will find a way to get us out, no matter what. Remember you said you wanted to have a sleepover? I say to Nico.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we could do that this weekend. He shakes his head.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't feel like it.
My eyes feel watery all of a sudden. I don't understand what happened. Why is Nico being so mean to me? The worst part is Nico notices and scrunches up his face.
You're always crying, he complains. Is there anything that doesn't make you cry?
I wipe my eyes with the back of my hand. I'm sorry.
If you're going to cry, then you have to leave.
I try to stop crying, but it's not that easy. I wish I could just say to myself, Ada, stop crying, and then it would stop. But Nico gives me some comic books, and then I feel a little better. I try to just read the comic books and not think about anything else, even though I have a lot of homework to do. And then, Dad finds us hiding here, and he and Mom are all angry at us, so we can't go in the clubhouse anymore anyway. I'm glad, because I don't like this clubhouse at all. 68. Ever since my dad yelled at Gabe, he hasn't bothered me again. He hasn't asked me out on a date. He hasn't even breathed on me. Unfortunately, now there's Hunter. 3 times a week, we have a class called Library, It's one of my favorite classes because you go to the school library, pick out a book, and you get to spend the whole period reading. I don't even understand why that's a class, because to me, it just seems like fun. But a lot of kids in my class groan about it. Today, I have picked a book from Lewis Sacker. Aside from Lois Duncan, he is my absolute favorite. I have read everything he has written, and now I am rereading everything he has written because sometimes it's more fun the second time. Like, you notice things you didn't notice the first time, especially in his Wayside School series. That might be my favorite series of all time, even more than Harry Potter. The first and the second one are so good. The third one is good too, but not my favorite. The third in a series usually isn't that great, so it's not his fault. Today, I am reading Someday Angeline, which I love, even though it makes me cry. But a lot of books make me cry. I'm only halfway through when Hunter sits down at the table across from me.
"Hi, Ada,"
he says. I don't look up from my book, but I do say hi.
"Ada," he says, "will you go out on a date with me?"
Some of his friends at the next table are listening, and they are snickering at our conversation. I don't know what is so funny about it. "No, thank you."
"How come?"
"I don't want to go out on a date."
"If you never go out on a date," he says, "then what are you going to do? Marry one of your books?"
The boys at the next table seem to find this hilarious. Every time we have library from then on, Hunter comes over to the table and asks me out on a date. I don't think he really wants to go out on a date. He is just making fun of me. Or maybe it's a little of both. Nobody at my old school ever talked about dating, but it seems to be a thing here. "Can you please let me read my book?" I beg him.
"That's all you like to do," Hunter notes. "Read books. You know, if you keep reading all the time, you're not going to be able to see anymore."
That's not true.
"It is true. If you read too many books, your eyeballs will fall out."
That is so not true. My mom likes to read, and her eyeballs have not fallen out. Although, to be fair, she doesn't read as much as I do. Most people don't. Sometimes I think that's all I want to do with my time. And I wish Hunter would leave me alone to do it. I think of the pocket knife that my dad gave me. It's in my backpack right now. It's all the way at the bottom, where nobody will find it. If any of the teachers knew I had it, I would be in big trouble. It would be smart to just leave it in my desk drawer at home. But Dad told me to carry it around all the time. And the truth is, I like to have it. But I'll never use it. I can't even imagine it. Although, at this moment, I would kind of like to. I bet if I took out that knife, Hunter would go away real quick.
"Ada," Hunter says, "would you marry me?"
The other boys are laughing again. I'm sick of this. So I grab my bag and go to the bathroom, where I hide for the rest of the period, reading my book on the toilet. 69. Today, we are going to the beach. I like to swim, but I don't like the beach that much. I don't like the feeling of sand on my skin. Also, after a trip to the beach, it feels like sand is everywhere. It's between my toes, in the cracks of my elbows and knees, and even after a shower, it still sort of feels like it's there.
I feel the same way. Mom replies when I say this to her before we go.
But we haven't done any family trips since we moved, and I think this will be fun. Anyway, you love to swim, right?
I guess.
She smiles at me. And you can bring a book.
I've got Someday Angeline in my backpack. The librarian let me take it home because I don't get much reading done at school and I want so badly to finish it. Hunter just won't leave me alone, and obviously Dad isn't around to be scary and make him stop bothering me. I wonder what Mom would do in a situation like that. Unlike Dad, she deals with everything in a calm and rational way. Maybe she has a solution that will help me deal with Hunter without having to take out Dad's knife, which would be ridiculous. Mom, I say. She is digging through my drawer now, looking for a swimsuit that still fits me. I grew a lot this year, and I'll need all new swimsuits soon.
Hmm?
What do you do if a boy is being mean to you?
Mom drops the swimsuit she's holding and whips her head around.
Is there a boy being mean to you?
Her face has turned very pink. I don't want to upset her. I heard Dad talking to her about some medical problems she has with her blood pressure. I don't want anything to happen to my mom.
Not me, I say quickly. A friend of mine. I'm trying to help her.
Oh. That seems to calm her down.
A lot of bullies are just looking for attention, and if you ignore them, they'll go away.
And what if ignoring them doesn't work?
Well, the important thing is to make it very clear that you're not going to tolerate being treated that way. She hesitates. Using your words, of course.
Of course, Mom is going to say to use your words, and Dad is going to hand me a big knife. I end up going to the beach, and I do bring a book with me, although it's such a nice day and the water looks good, so maybe I won't end up reading it much. It will be fun to play in the water with Nico, like we used to when we were little. But when we get there, it's not as fun as I thought it would be. Mom seems like she's almost angry or something, and Nico is acting weird too.
Hello, Nico. Ada?
Mr. Lowell says to us. He's wearing a pair of swim trunks and a baseball cap. He's really white under his shirt, like my mom. Hi, I say, although my brother doesn't respond. He doesn't seem to be upset that Nico didn't answer him.
Great day for the beach, huh?
Yes, I say politely. Nico still doesn't answer, and I'm not sure why. He'd been going over to the Lowell's house to do chores for a while until they told him he didn't have to come anymore. So I figure he knows them better than I do. And I don't think the chores were that bad, since he usually hates chores, but he hadn't complained about it at all.
Is everything okay? I ask Nico as we are walking to the water. The sand squishes beneath my feet, and I can feel it getting between my toes.
Stupid, gross sand.
Everything is fine, he says.
Why do you seem so angry at Mr. and Mrs. Lowell?
Why don't you mind your own business, Ada?
He snaps at me. Nico has never spoken to me that way before. I freeze in my tracks, shocked. Nico keeps running to the water, and I should go too, but I don't want to go if Nico is mad at me. Something is going on, and I don't understand what. I look back at where we set up our chairs on the sand. Mom is sitting on a chair, and Mr. Lowell is next to her. She waves at me. I wave back.
Okay, I can't let this get me down. I'm not going to let my brother ruin the day. I follow my family out to the water.
Dad is a really good swimmer, and so am I. But he doesn't like me to go out farther than where he can reach me, just in case. I swim out as far as I feel safe, and then I swim back. On my way back, I notice Nico bobbing in the water nearby. And that's when I also notice that Mrs. Lowell is next to him, and they're talking. I tread water as close as I dare, trying to hear what they're talking about, except there's water in my ears and it's hard to hear. "Don't even think telling anyone," Mrs. Lowell is saying to Nico. "Don't you dare. Do you know how much trouble you'll be in?" And then Nico says in a tiny voice, "I won't, I promise." Was she threatening him? I don't know what they were talking about, but I didn't like the tone of her voice. She was threatening him, I'm sure of it. I keep thinking about it as I'm swimming, and I get madder and madder. How could she talk to my brother that way? And what were they talking about? I get so angry, I can't even think straight. And then, when I'm swimming under the water, I pass by her legs. I don't know why I do what I do next. I'm just so mad. So the next thing I know, I'm grabbing one of Mrs. Lowell's skinny legs and pulling as hard as I can, yanking her down into the water. She doesn't see it coming at all. Right away, I'm sorry I did it. She wasn't prepared to go underwater, and it's obvious that she can't get back up. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to save her. And I think to myself, what if she drowns because of me? I'd be in so much trouble. But of course, Dad comes to the rescue. He grabs her and pulls her out of the water, and it turns out she's okay. So I didn't end up drowning her after all. 70. Step 5. Find out the truth. I hate it here in Long Island. I don't have any friends. I mean, not real friends. There are girls that I eat lunch with, and they are nice to me, but nothing like my old friends back home. Hunter bothers me almost every day in library. Nico barely speaks to me, and he keeps getting in trouble at school. I don't need a whole year to decide. I hate it already, and I always will. I wonder if I will have to wait the full year before asking to go back. Oh, who am I kidding? We are never going back. We will live here forever. I lie in the dark of my room, trying to fall asleep. There was a time in my life, like when I was a little kid, when it was easy to sleep. I don't remember lying awake when I was in kindergarten. But now, it seems like every night I can't sleep. I just stare at the ceiling every night. And the cracks in the ceiling aren't even interesting. I miss Constance. Finally, I get out of bed and walk over to the window. One thing that's nice about living here is how clear and pretty the sky is. You can always see the moon and lots of stars. It's still not worth it, though. When I look out the window, my gaze falls on the house next door to ours, number 12 Locust Street. The lights are out in the house, but somehow I see movement in the windows. I can't tell what room that is. The bedroom? I can't stop thinking about what happened at the beach. There's something funny going on with the family next door. Why does Nico hate the Lowells so much? It's so weird. I hear a noise behind me. It's a knock at the door. I run back to my bed, not wanting Mom or Dad to catch me wandering around my room in the middle of the night. I'm not sure if I should pretend to be asleep, but they probably hear me moving around, so I call out, "Come in." Slowly, the door cracks open. I blink in the darkness, not sure if I'm seeing right. It's Nico, and he's holding a sleeping bag.
Can I sleep here tonight, Ada?
He asks me.
Sure, I say. Of course you can.
I keep the lights out, but both of our eyes have adjusted to the dark. Nico lays his sleeping bag down on the floor next to my bed. Then he crawls inside. I lie down in my own bed. Good night, Nico, I say.
Good night, Ada.
But I don't close my eyes. I look over at Nico in the sleeping bag, and he is looking at me too. And that's when I notice his eyes are wet.
Nico?
I say. Except he doesn't answer right away because he can't stop crying. But after a few minutes, he tells me everything.
71.
You can't tell anyone,
Nico says to me before telling me the whole story.
Do you swear?
Yes.
Swear it, Ada.
I swear. He looks at me, takes a deep breath, and then he starts talking. It started soon after we moved here, when Nico broke that window and started doing chores for the Lowells. The first time he went, it was just ordinary stuff, like washing dishes or mopping the floor. But then, the second time, he made a freaky discovery. The Lowells have a tiny room that is identical to ours, also hidden below their staircase. When he was vacuuming, Nico noticed the very edge of the door on the wall, mostly hidden behind a bookcase, and being my troublemaker brother, he decided to push aside the bookcase, open the door, and go inside. But unlike the room under our staircase, this one was not empty.
It was filled with toys, he tells me. Cool toys, stuff that we could never afford. So, well, nobody was around, so I thought I could play with the toys just a little bit. But then Mr. Lowell caught me while I was playing with this really cool Transformers truck, and I dropped it, and it broke.
Mr. Lowell told Nico that the toys were collector's items, and the truck he broke had been very expensive, and now he owed the family thousands of dollars, plus the money for the stained glass window he also broke since he had been playing instead of doing chores. Mom and Dad are always talking about how worried they are about money. I mean, they talk quietly so we can't hear, but we always hear them. So Nico was scared about them having to pay all that money. But Mr. Lowell came up with an idea. He told Nico that he was thinking about building some toys of his own, and if Nico would help him by playing with different toys and telling him what his favorites were, then he wouldn't make our parents pay for the stuff he broke.
So that's what I was doing when I was over there, Nico explains to me. I wasn't doing chores. I was playing in the little room, and Mr. Lowell was watching from the camera.
Mr. Lowell explained that the door had to be closed when he was in there, because Mrs. Lowell would be mad about letting him play with the toys, so she couldn't ever find out. He recorded what was happening using a camera up on the ceiling, and he watched. But then one day, Nico needed the bathroom really badly, and he couldn't get out of the room. He was banging on the door, and nobody would let him out. He was panicking. By the time Mr. Lowell finally opened the door, Nico had wet his pants. Mr. Lowell made fun of him for wetting his pants. He said he was going to tell all of Nico's friends about it, and my brother had to beg him not to. After that, the visits continued. Even when Mrs. Lowell found out about it, and she made Mr. Lowell tell Mom that they didn't want him coming anymore, he told Nico privately that he still needed to keep coming.
And then I told him no,
Nico whispers through the darkness of my bedroom.
I said that I couldn't come anymore, that I didn't like it, and I was bored of playing in the room. And also, I was scared.
except he told me that I didn't have a choice. Mr. Lowell told Nico that if he didn't keep coming, he was going to sue our family for not just the broken toy and the broken window, but also all the damage Nico had done to the other toys while playing in the room. He said that we would be homeless and that our parents would hate him. That worked for a little while, but then when Nico said that he was going to tell them anyway, Mr. Lowell used a different approach. He said that if I told anyone about the room, Nico says, that he would kill my whole family. He said he would kill Dad first, then Mom, then you. And now he's crying. I climb out of my bed, and I lie next to him on the sleeping bag. I put my arms around him. The weirdest thing is, I am not crying. Practically everything makes me cry. But I'm not crying now. I'm angry. Nico, I say, Mr. Lowell could never hurt our dad. Our dad is a lot bigger than he is. He told me he could do it. He said he's done it before. I don't think it's true. Mr. Lowell is no match for our dad. Nobody is. Mr. Lowell is just a big bully. We have to tell Mom and Dad about this, I say.
No,
Nico sobs.
Ada, you promised you wouldn't tell anyone. You swore.
But this is really serious.
If you tell anyone, he says, I will never, ever trust you again for the rest of my life.
His dark eyes are shiny in the moonlight. He looks like he means it. But Nico is only 9 years old. Even if I tell, someday he's going to realize I did the right thing. Right?
You promised you wouldn't tell, he reminds me. You better not break that promise, Ada.
Okay, I finally say. I won't tell them. I won't tell anyone. Nico lets me wrap my arms around him, and eventually he stops crying, and then his breathing evens out. He's asleep. But I'm still wide awake. I'm going to keep my promise to my brother. I won't tell anyone about the secret he told me. Except Mr. Lowell needs to know that Nico is never going over to his house ever again. 72. Step 6. Stand up for your little brother. I haven't been to the Lowell's house since that dinner we had with them when we first moved here. Their house is a lot bigger and nicer than ours, although I honestly feel like ours is too big. I wait to go over until Mr. Lowell's Mercedes arrives and disappears into their garage, so I know he's home. I don't know what I'm going to say, but he needs to know I am aware of what he is doing to my brother, and that if it ever happens again, I will be telling our parents. And I am not scared of him. Once he hears what I have to say, he won't bother Nico ever again, and I'll never have to tell Mom and Dad. Except, just as I'm leaving the house, I decide at the last minute to grab the pocket knife that Dad gave me. It's not like I'm going to use it, but I just feel more comfortable when I have it. I put it in the pocket of my jeans, and then I cover it with my t-shirt so it's not visible. Now I feel better. I take the shortcut, cutting across our backyard to theirs. Dad is in their backyard, doing some work on their bushes. He's got some of his equipment going, and it's really loud. And when I say loud, I mean that I have to cover my ears. It sounds exactly like a saw going through metal, even though that's not what's happening. It's so loud that he doesn't even hear me walking to the back door. I almost wave to get his attention, But then I realize if he sees me, he'll ask me what I'm doing. So it's actually better if he doesn't know I'm here. I knock on the back door, but it's so loud back here that he can't hear me. I think about going around the front, but then I try the back door, and it's not even locked. So I let myself inside. I definitely saw Mr. Lowell's car go into the garage, but the house is weirdly silent. I don't hear any footsteps or noises coming from upstairs.
It sounds like nobody is even home.
Hello? I call out. No answer. I don't know where he went, but it doesn't seem like anyone is here. Maybe he left again while I was putting on my sneakers. Or maybe he's in the shower or something. I guess I'll leave and come back later. But then, as I'm walking through the house, I pass by the stairwell. There is a bookcase leaning against the wall, exactly where the door to the secret room is in our house. It's just how Nico described it. If I move this bookcase, will I find the secret room? Now that idea is in my head, I have to see this room. The bookcase isn't that heavy, because it doesn't have many books in it. I lean all my weight against it, pushing as hard as I can. Once it starts moving, I can push it the rest of the way easily. And sure enough, behind it is the outline of a narrow door. This one was concealed by the bookcase instead of having been covered with wallpaper. Like the one in our own house, it looks like it pushes open, although there is a hole for a key. That keyhole makes me nervous. I remember the way Nico talked about trying to get out of the room, but he couldn't because the door wouldn't open. It hits me that if Mr. Lowell had locked him in the room and covered it with the bookcase, nobody would have known he was there. After all, Mom and Dad thought he stopped coming here to do chores. Only Nico and Mr. Lowell knew the truth. I stare at the outline of the door. I'm not a curious sort of person. I don't need to know what's behind every door. That's more Nico style. The room exists, that's all I need to know, right? But then again, what is the harm in one little peek? Slowly, I push open the door to the room. 73. It's not what I expected. The room under our staircase was just an empty space, but this one is filled with stuff. I can see why Nico was attracted to it. It's like every toy he has ever played with or wanted in his life is in this room. Transformers, trucks, model cars, action figures. Most of them look like they've been played with recently. And the room is brighter than the one below our stairwell, lit with actual lights that require a light switch.
Nico mentioned Mr. Lowell kept a camera mounted on the ceiling, but I scan the corners up above and don't see one. Maybe he took it down. But the strangest part of the room is what is in the far corner.
It's a bed. A small bed, meant for a child, maybe even a little younger than Nico, but about that age. It has a white bed frame and a thin mattress with no box spring. It's more like a cot. It's covered with a quilt, and each of the patches on the quilt has a different kind of insect sewn into the fabric. Even though I know I shouldn't, I walk over to the bed. I run my fingers along the quilt, which feels stiff, like it hasn't been used in a long time. I guess when Nico was here, he played on the floor. I pull back the quilt and... oh my God. There's a dark brown stain all over the white sheets. It's darkest right in the center, but there are splatters of it all over the sheets.
I don't know if Nico ever pulled back these sheets and saw what I am seeing. If he did, maybe that's why he took Mr. Lowell's threat so seriously.
Ada?
I whipped my head around in the direction of the voice behind me. I thought no one was home because it was so quiet. That was really stupid. I saw the car pull into the garage. I should have realized Mr. Lowell was here. He was probably upstairs or something. Or maybe he was hiding, waiting, watching. And now, he is here, in the room with me. He is wearing a pair of tan slacks and a dress shirt that is unbuttoned at the collar, as well as a tie hanging loose around his neck. He has a layer of moisture on his forehead, which glistens in the overhead lights. He has thinning hair on top of his head, and each of those strands seems wet from his sweat. I open my mouth to squeak out a reply, but nothing comes. I had intended to tell Mr. Lowell that he needed to leave my brother alone. I had intended to tell him in no uncertain terms that Nico would never be back here. I had intended to keep my brother out of trouble. But now, I could be the one in trouble.
What are you doing here, Ada?
Mr. Lowell doesn't seem mad exactly. He almost looks like he finds it interesting that I am in here.
Did you move the bookcase?
I squeak out. I'm sorry. I thought... Why am I apologizing? I sound like my mom. She's always apologizing for things she didn't even do wrong. And now, I'm doing it. I mean, I guess I am in his house without permission. But he's the one who has been locking my brother in this room. And what are these stains all over the sheets that look suspiciously like dried blood?
You were snooping,
he notes. I don't say anything to that.
Did you tell your parents that you were coming over here?
He asks me. Yes, I say. His lips twitch.
You're lying, Ada.
I'm not.
I can always tell when children are lying. You are all so obvious.
I want to run out of the room. But Mr. Lowell is blocking the exit. Not only that, but he has closed the door. Still, he couldn't have locked it, because he's in here with me, so there's no way. Right?
I think,
he says, taking a step closer to me, which is too close, because this room is really, really small.
I think that you didn't tell anyone at all that you came here.
I take a step back, hitting the wall behind me. Mr. Lowell's gaze briefly flickers down to the mattress, at the blood stains on the sheets.
Oh, Ada,
he says.
I really wish you hadn't pulled back those covers.
My breath catches in my throat. I'd like to leave now, I manage. He cocks his head to the side.
Would you?
Yes.
The thing is, he says, I'm not sure I can trust you. Your brother is very good at keeping secrets, but I get the feeling you're not.
I remember how Nico came home with pee all over his pants, and right now, I'm scared the same thing is going to happen to me. I don't know if I've ever been this frightened in my whole life. I can keep a secret, I squeak out. Unlike me and my brother and my dad, Mr. Lowell has light eyes, so I can see when the black part in the middle grows larger.
I don't think you can,
he says.
Which means...
He's close enough now that I can smell his sour breath. I squirm, wondering if I can get past him. I need to get out. The whole room is so small, and the door is so close. If only...
I can't let you leave, Ada, he says.
I remember when Gabe told me about that missing boy, Braden Lundy. I had imagined him being trapped in a room just like this. The thought terrified me. And yet here I am. And just like Braden, nobody might see me ever again. Except I have one thing that Braden didn't have. I reach into my pocket and my fingers close around my dad's pocket knife. After he gave it to me, I practiced in my room. I practiced opening and retracting the blade quickly, the way I have seen Dad do it. Mr. Lowell is staring at my face, so he doesn't see me slide the knife out of my pocket and extend the blade. He doesn't see the glimmer of the knife in the overhead lights until I have jammed it right into his belly, exactly where my dad told me to put it. And then I twist it. Mr. Lowell howls. I got him right where it hurts. Well, like Mom says, it hurts more between the legs, but I didn't really want to go for that area. This did the job anyway. Mr. Lowell sinks to his knees, clutching his belly. "You bitch," he gasps. I don't have time to think. I race past him, prying the door open, and then, before he can get back up again, I shove it closed again. The keyhole on the door is calling out to me, but I don't have a key. I can't lock it. So I do the only thing I can do, which is run out of the house as fast as I can. When I came in, Dad was working in the backyard, but he's gone. I don't know where he went. Maybe back in our garage to get some more equipment? I don't know. I want to look for him, but I also really want to go home. When I get inside, I run up the stairs. I run to my parents' bedroom, looking for either one of them, but the bedroom is empty. And then, while I'm standing in the doorway, I hear the footsteps behind me, growing louder. Oh no. It's Mr. Lowell. I should have figured out a way to block off that door, or stabbed him again, just to make sure I finished the job. But I stupidly left him there, and now he's followed me back into my house. He's ready to finish me off. But then I turn around, and my shoulders sag. It's not Mr. Lowell. It's Nico, standing in the hallway, his mouth hanging open.
Ada?
He has a horrified expression on his face.
What happened to you?
For the first time, I look down at my clothing. I have a few small bloodstains on my shirt, but my right hand is wet with it. Also, the knife has a lot of blood on it. I didn't even notice.
Ada?
Nico says again. Where's Dad? I stammer.
In the garage, getting some equipment, I think.
Nico frowns at my bloody hand, still clutching the knife.
Ada, what happened?
I can't tell him. How can I tell anyone what I've done?
Ada?
I think I might have killed Mr. Lowell. The words come out in a jumbled rush. I think he might be dead.
What?
I wipe tears from my eyes, smearing blood on my face. I'm only making this worse. I didn't tell anyone what you told me, I swear. But I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to tell him to leave you alone.
Ada!
He wouldn't let me out of the little room. My voice breaks. So, I had to. We both look down at the knife, glistening with Mr. Lowell's blood. He's definitely dead. I stabbed him with the knife right where Dad told me to, and I twisted it. I watched the color drain out of his face as he sank to the floor. Oh, God. I need to talk to Dad, I blurt out. Nico's eyes widen with panic.
You can't tell Dad. You can't tell any grown-ups. You will be in such big trouble.
Dad won't let anything bad happen to me.
It's not up to him. You know what happens to kids who do bad things, right?
He chews on his lower lip.
They take you away from your parents. You have to go to this kid jail called juvenile detention. My friend said his brother had to go after he stole something. And that's just for stealing. You killed someone.
I start to cry. He's right. I can't just tell people I killed Mr. Lowell and expect not to get punished at all, even if he was the one doing something wrong.
So, what should I do?
I ask.
Did anyone see you there?
I shake my head no.
Then nobody will know it was you, right?
I look down at the knife in my hand and realize that he's right.
I can wash the blood off the knife and stuff it in the back of a drawer. I can wash the blood off the shirt and hide it in my closet. Nobody will know. Nothing bad will happen.
Part 4. 74. Millie. My daughter killed a man. My 11-year-old daughter stabbed a man, and now he's dead. And after I hear the whole story, I wish she hadn't killed him, so I could do it with my bare hands, because I would have really made him suffer.
I'm sorry, Mom.
She's crying so hard, it's difficult for her to talk.
I didn't want to do it. I just had to get out of that room.
I'm not angry at her. She doesn't owe me any apology. I feel sick at the thought of what was happening right under my nose. I was the one who sent Nico over there to do chores. In my defense, it seemed harmless at the time, a good way for him to take responsibility for breaking their window. I could never have imagined. This is not your fault, Ada. I wrap my arms around her skinny body. You did what you had to do. I would have done the same. That is an understatement. Where's the shirt you were wearing? I ask her. The one with the blood on it. She wipes her eyes and crosses the room to get to her pink dresser. She rifles around for a moment until she pulls out the navy blue shirt she'd been wearing that day and hands it over to me. If I squint, I can just barely see the stain. But I can see how the police would have missed it. They weren't expecting to find anything incriminating in a little girl's drawer of shirts.
I washed it really well in the sink, she says.
Although if the police had found it, they would have easily identified Jonathan's blood. I clutch the shirt in my hand, not sure what to do with it. Could I really turn my own daughter in for murder?
I don't want to go to jail, she sniffles. But I don't want Dad to get in trouble when I was the one who did it.
Enzo knew. He figured out Ada must have been the one who stabbed Jonathan after he discovered that the knife he gave her was the murder weapon. That's why he was so quick to take the blame. I hate him for doing that. But also, I love him more than I have ever loved him before. You are not going to jail, I assure her. I promise you. We are going to call Dad's lawyer, and she is going to straighten everything out. I swear. I've got to call Cecilia. I've got to tell her everything before Enzo does anything else stupid, like confessing to murder to protect his daughter. I don't want Ada to hear this call, but I also don't want to leave her alone when she is so fragile, As much as I have reassured her that she didn't do anything wrong, she is still inconsolable. I need to keep a close eye on her, so I step right outside her bedroom door, keeping the door cracked open so I can see her as I click on Cecilia's number. Thankfully, she answers right away. Millie, everything okay? I just got to the police station. Yeah, I breathe. But I heard some extremely interesting information. I tell her everything as quickly as I can. She is mostly silent for the entire story, although a few times I hear her quick intake of air. It's hard to repeat the details Ada shared with me. Honestly, it makes me sick to my stomach. I'm relieved when I've told her what I need to, and I can stop talking. Jesus, Cecilia breathes. That's... I know. Damn it, Enzo, she mutters to herself. He better not have said anything to the police without me. I've got to get in there as quickly as I can and set things straight. He needs to hear everything, I say. If he thinks there's a chance Ada might get punished for this, he is going to want to take the fall. He has to know that it was self-defense. She didn't do anything wrong. And she's 11, Cecilia reminds me. No court would prosecute a child that age as an adult.
Enzo is throwing himself on his sword for nothing.
Please, Cecilia, don't let him do anything stupid. Don't worry, Millie, Cecilia says. I'm incredibly convincing. I let her go so she can do her thing, and then I am left alone with my children, and I have a pretty big job to do to make things right again. I don't know exactly what was going on inside that room at the Lowell's house. If Jonathan laid a finger on my son, I will... Well, I guess I can't kill him anymore, but I will set fire to his grave, or I'll travel to the afterlife and wreak vengeance upon him. I can't believe Nico was going to that house for months because he was so scared of us having to pay for some broken toys. It breaks my heart. After all this is over, the whole family is going to need therapy. That man did a terrible thing to us, and I am determined to get my husband out of jail so we can help the kids start healing again. 75. Enzo is currently at the police station in a holding cell. He has been booked, fingerprinted, and had mugshots taken, according to Cecilia. There will be a bail hearing tomorrow, but there's no way we can afford any amount of bail. I'm desperate to know how he's doing, but all I can get are updates from Cecilia. I keep the kids home from school. I have taken so many personal days now that my coworkers must be furious with me